And welcome to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, August 14th. My name is Shona Strasser. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with Tyree Peeney and Missouri Smythe from the Juno Symphony about the Juno Student Symphony's upcoming tour to Hoonah. We'll talk with Ann Johnson about Saturday's Eagle Crest Run. We'll hear what's happening in town with Sandy Fortier with Arts Up. And we'll get a preview of the Shaketown event with Harrison B., Writer's Almanac and more. Here on Juno Afternoon. But first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A study shows most patrons of a northern Wisconsin casino do not smoke and would visit more often if the casino was non-smoking. As WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports, the Torches Casino partnered with the Great Lakes Intertribal Council to survey nearly 1,000 guests.
Great Lakes Intertribal Council epidemiologist Isaiah Brokenleg says part of what makes the study groundbreaking is that the casino gave researchers access to its patron database.
So we were able to pull a sample proportional to the whole from each of their gaming tiers, so the folks who gamble a lot to the folks who gamble a little. That's sort of how we got a good representative sample of the casino patrons.
The study finds three-quarters of Lake of the Torches casino patrons don't smoke, and more than 50% say they would come to the casino more often if it were smoke-free. Another quarter of respondents say they're indifferent. Brokenleg says the findings refute the stereotype that casino revenues depend on allowing smoking. But he says getting Lake of the Torches to go smoke-free could be very difficult. It would need the support of tribal members and the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Council, and on the reservation, the smoking rate is over 40%.
So if you have a community that's smoking at such a high rate, passing smoke-free legislation, which is what it would take on the reservations for the casinos to go smoke-free, it's going to be very difficult. The community readiness isn't quite there, and so hopefully these data will help move the community toward a place where they'll be ready to pass smoke-free legislation.
The survey was done in 2011, and the results are being published next month in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski.
Residents on the Standing Rock Reservation learned about alternative means for providing heat for homes and winterization at a workshop this week. Issues rural residents face in the winter, including the high cost of propane, were highlighted after a woman died on the reservation during the winter. Jim Kent reports.
The Heat the Res workshop was hosted by the Last Real Indians nonprofit organization and the UPEPO Energy Group. Chase Iron Eyes is one of the workshop's coordinators. Iron Eyes says one of the goals of the day-long gathering was to raise awareness of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's opportunities through REAP.
Renewable Energy for America program provides funding for small businesses and agricultural producers in rural areas. The workshop is to try to give out information to local tribal members and non-tribal members.
REAP provides grants and guaranteed loans to purchase, install, and construct renewable energy systems, as well as make energy efficiency improvements to non-residential buildings and facilities. The funding can also be used for renewable technologies that reduce energy consumption. Chase Iron Eyes says another goal of the workshop was to move residents on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation toward alternative means of heating their homes after the price of propane passed the $4 mark last winter. Part of the solution to override the use of propane on the reservation will begin when 20 pellet stoves are distributed to families in need. Pellet stoves use indigenous biomass made from wheat or corn and are said to run much more economically than propane. Iron Eyes notes that as the pillars of regenerative society, Native Americans must lead the way in renewable energy use. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
The uniform of a Navajo code talker has returned home and is being unveiled today in Arizona on Navajo Code Talkers Day. The uniform and other items of the late George Kirk Sr. were lost in 1999. They were in a storage unit that went unpaid after his death. The uniform appeared on an online auction in January. A Navajo official contacted the auction house, which agreed to give the uniform to the tribe. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered, cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanic Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And you're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 14th. My name is Shona Strausser, and I'm so lucky. I feel very blessed every week to have some really amazing people come in and talk to us about what they do in this community. And this week, of course, is no different. We have Missouri Smythe here, who runs the Alaska Youth Choir, as well as a music teacher and choral teacher at Floyd Dryden Middle School. And then we also have Tyree Peeney, who is the conductor and the guy who waves his hands at the Juno Student Symphony, as well as a wonderful teacher, music teacher and choral teacher at Thunder Mountain. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you all have a really great tour coming up of the Juno Student Symphony.
That's right. We've been in rehearsals for the last 3 weeks, and we are we're getting ready. We have a concert right here in Juno on Friday. That's tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that we're putting on at the Jack. We'll be there starting about 7:30. It's the last Food Truck Friday that they're doing this summer, so we feel very lucky to be like right after. They're going to close up the Food Truck Friday and set up the stage for us. We get on 7:30 and perform right here in town. Exactly all the music that we're playing, we're going to take to Huna the very next morning.
Wow, that's really good. So we get to hear it. We get to hear it first. Right. Yes. Here first. So what can you tell us about the Juno Student Symphony? Because I think a lot of people know about the symphony that we have here that's adults and everything, but maybe people don't know so much about the Student Symphony, but it's really active and it has been for a long time.
Sure. Yeah, it's been around for a very long time. I can think of at least 15 years that it's been going. Beyond that, I don't know. Rick Trostel recently moved down to Portland, which opened up this conducting position, which I applied for, and I'm really grateful to have done it, because we have a group that's just made up of anybody around the community who wants to play. When you think Juno Student Symphony, the idea is not that you have to be a student, like student age in the high schools or any schools for that matter. Student just means being willing to learn.
That's right. It's the holistic student way, right?
Right.
Student of life.
Because we come across music markings that we all need to learn. Like the first time we've seen this, we have some marking in our music this time that's play an artificial harmonic on your violin, and so people just had to say, "Stop! What does this mean?"
Right.
We're students. So if you play an instrument and would like to join us, there's information on the website to go in. There's an audition process, but it's very relaxed. We want to know that you can play your instrument, but if you're interested in joining us, that's totally a possibility.
That's really amazing, because Missouri, you actually teach music all the time,
right.
And this is your first time. You're making your debut.
It is, and my good colleague here, Mr. Peeney, had invited me to play violin with the symphony, knowing that he needed players for this trip to Huna. So I said, I would love to, because as musicians, you know, we have various we do various things in our lives. And many, many years ago, I used to play in a high school orchestra that used to, every morning, have an assembly, and the orchestra would play this procession, because I was raised in New Zealand, so we had a very traditional school assembly. And it's been years since I've played, and I wanted to. So I teach orchestra at Floyd Dryden, and then Juno Student Symphony this year, got invited, and I started playing, and it is a wonderful experience. I've just loved playing this music and connecting again with the opportunity to play.
Tyree, how many people are involved in this particular concert on Friday night? And is this a two-parter for you? Is this a kickoff kind of for the rest of your season also?
Okay. We have 32 performers involved in the group. It's going to be playing with us at the Jack. On tour, we'll take 30 of those with us over to Huna. And it's pretty common for us to have at least 30. We had a concert last season that we had 45.
Wow.
And so, you know, it comes and goes. If you're able to play during a certain concert, you register to join us. And those who have joined us in the past get precedence over taking those seats. But we've also doubled. If we have five flutes that want to come join, we take five flutes if they're all ready to play with us. And I think that's something that makes the Student Symphony much different than the Juno Symphony. You know, they have their specific seats because that's what the music calls for. And doublings are not appropriate. But for us, the more the merrier.
Great. Right?
You know, another thing too, Shona, is the beauty of the Juno Student Symphony is at middle school and high school, there are students who are proficient in their instrument. They get to the point where they're quite proficient in their instrument, and so they then have another opportunity to play in the Juno Student Symphony, so it becomes a training ground for them should they consider playing in the larger symphony later on. So it's wonderful that way.
That's great. So you've got the concert. It starts at 7:30, right after Food Truck Friday is over. And I know there's some marimbas happening, which we'll talk about later because marimbas are really cool also. but then at 7:30, and what is the – is this a kickoff event for your season, or how does the season work for you at the Juno Student Symphony?
Okay. This event does start our season. It's kind of our overlap. We wanted a tour part of last season. And it just didn't happen in the beginning of summer, so we said, hey, can we trade off? Can we make it happen at the end? So it's great. It's continuing on our last season, but it is our kickoff for this season, starting with this tour to Huna. Some other things that we have coming up this season. In December, we will be joining with Alaska Youth Choir, having a big event. John Rutter's Mass of the Children is slated to be part of that program, along with some other really fun things, possibly Strauss's Emperor's Waltz. In April, we'll be having a program that's combined with the jam programs here in town. All the elementary students who are learning violins, violas, cellos, and even bass will be joining with in the April concert.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this concert in December is the Alaska Youth Choir is celebrating their 20th. Anniversary this year, and so it's wonderful to be able to have that collaboration as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a really actually natural collaboration. Yeah, and then starting just very soon, starting on Saturday or Friday, really.
Yes, it is.
That's great. If people want to get involved in the Student Symphony, how would they go about doing that?
A few different ways. The first off that I would say is on our website, we've got some instructions on how to go through, look up the audition material. It's part of the student handbook. Also, getting a hold of me in some form, my cell phone number is on there, my email address is on there. You can come through me, or you can go through Sarah Brown, who's at the symphony office, and let her know that you're interested. And making contact is the first way. Once we have an audition set up, then we meet. We perform and talk about your involvement in the symphony. And, like, once you're in, you're in. You don't have to audition multiple times to play with us, unless you plan on switching instruments, of course. But once you're in, you're in.
That sounds great. What about the music for this fine Friday night?
Okay. So I had a really fun opportunity to go through all the music that's been purchased for the Juno Student Symphony and came across one piece that just kind of inspired this whole program. It was a piece called Sachmo, which is a tribute to Louis Armstrong. And so within Sachmo, you've got a lot of different pieces that you'll recognize as tribute to Louis Armstrong.
What a Wonderful World.
What a Wonderful World is in there, When the Saints Go Marching In.
St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, and so just thinking that, if that's our Pops concert, what else can we include? And it just kind of that big band sound. What else could go in there? We've got some Cole Porter classics that would be performing. Some Glenn Miller, like Moonlight, Serenade.
Yes.
Pennsylvania 65,000 is on there. Pink Panther.
Take Five is in there as well.
And so it just kept going. In our last concert, we had so much movie music, and I had a few people ask about certain movies that we didn't include in that concert, like Pirates of the Caribbean, and Lord of the Rings. So we are also including that in this concert.
Wow. You've got something for everyone. You're playing the greatest hits. That's wonderful.
I know.
That's awesome.
How are we going to ever outdo this concert? I don't know.
That's great. If people wanted to get involved in the Alaska Youth Choir, is that still something that, in your 20th year, you're like, come on in?
We are. In fact, auditions are coming up the second week of August. We have it on our website. We also are going to be sending out flyers in the schools, and we'll be having posters posted around to advertise, our auditions that are coming up, tryouts. Ages 6 to 18, we have three choirs, and so, it's just to come and see where their voice is, and I listen to their voice and do a variety of things. And, so all are welcome to come and sing as part of the celebration.
That sounds great. And there's definitely a lot of crossover happening this year between Alaska Youth Choir and the Juneau Youth Symphony, which is actually a great win-win for everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, it's not the Youth Symphony anymore. Student Symphony.
Oh, we call it Student Symphony. There you go. There you go. Because it's Student of Life. Yeah.
No worries.
Nice.
Well, actually, can I elaborate on one other thing that's coming up this season? We are approved to move forward with this, and I'm very excited. We are looking at creating a full orchestra, which we currently are. The full orchestra will continue as the Juneau Student Symphony Full Orchestra, but we will have another chapter underneath us called the Juneau Student Symphony String Orchestra that's made just for strings, violins, violas, cellos, basses, to come in. The grade level will be a little bit easier than the full orchestra. So some people who just want to dabble with strings can come in. People who are young with strings are welcome to come in. And people who have just been away for so long and are intimidated by playing with the full orchestra can come in and register for the string orchestra. So if you're out there listening, make sure you look at our website and find out how to get involved.
Yeah, that's a great new opportunity. Yeah. Well, Tyree and Missouri, thank you so much for coming by to talk to us about all the wonderful things you do for youth in our community. Much appreciated.
Our pleasure.
And thank you, Shona. Appreciate it, too.
Yeah. Have
thank
a
you, Shona.
Great concert on Friday and a great trip to Juneau. I hope it gets a little dry for you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
and a little Glenn Miller to get us in the mood. This is Shonan Strasser. You're listening to KTOO Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 14th. And in the studio with me, I have Ann Johnson, part of Southeast Roadrunners, and by looks, I would say a runner yourself.
I'm a runner.
And you're here to talk about Saturday's Eagle Crest Run.
I am.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So the Eagle Crest Run, can you tell us what it is? And
yeah. Sure. It's a run that we do. Carrie Anderson and I are the race directors. It's every year. And this Saturday, the run will be held at 9 a.m. It's you have a choice of running 5 miles up the road from the bottom of Eagle Crest Road to the ski lodge, or you can, if for those intrepid runners, you can continue on up the gravel road to the top of the Ptarmigan chairlift, turn around and come back down to the ski lodge where it will end.
So how does that work for, you know, because running is very interesting. It's like sometimes it's a very individual sport and sometimes it's a sport that you have tons of people around and you're all racing. So what is the, you know, the benefit for this particular run at this particular time?
You know, I think the timing is great for those Junoites that are training for Klondike. That's a few weeks away. And unless you're running the Princess Leg on Klondike, you know, you're going to have some uphill during the Klondike Run. And so the Eagle Crest Road Run is just fantastic, particularly for people that are doing legs 5, 6, leg 1, leg 2 at Klondike. You know, this is a good one to get out there and sort of test your legs on.
That's great. How many people usually run this particular 5 mile, 10 mile?
Well, it varies, but we often have 40, 50 runners. I should also mention that there is a children's 1 mile run. Starts about 9:20 up at the lodge, and we have them run a mile out and back. So that's going on while the other runners are running, you know, the adults are running up the hill.
And is there a registration fee, or if people still are, you know, want to get involved right now and say, okay, I'm on board, how do they do that?
Yeah, well, this is the time to get on board. It's $8 for adults, and you can go to the Southeast Roadrunners website and click on to this run, and then you can fill out your form now, bring it to the race. If that's too much of a hassle, just come to the race. We'll have the forms right there. You can fill them out. So it's $8 for adults. It's $1 for each child.
And what is that, you know, what does it go towards, the fee? And then also, you know, what are... Because, you know, there's stations, there's water stations, or what is that?
It's used towards Southeast Roadrunners. We put it in the coffer, and it goes towards supporting the many, you know, terrific races that Southeast Roadrunners puts on during the course of the year. So, yeah, that's what the funding's used towards.
Yeah, it's great. So what time should people meet at the bottom of Eagle Crest Road?
Yeah, well, it's starts at 9, and so I think if people would be there, plan to be there 8:30, by 8:30, you know, or a little thereafter, and so we can complete the sign-up and have everybody there so that we're ready to go on time.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's fabulous. And what, do people actually get times? Do they time themselves on Eagle Crest Road?
Oh, sure. No, we time them. There are three of us that have timers, and we'll one for the children's race, one for the adult race, and then the backup in case anything goes wrong. So we are timing everybody on the way up, and then we post the results. And the results go towards the Empire Cup that the SARE keeps, or the Southeast Roadrunners keeps track of every year. And then there's a party in January, and, you know, somebody comes up with the most points wins. So it goes towards that, and then also just to be able to track your individual times. And we will have first, second, third place, you know, winners and ribbons. And I also want to point out that on this one, we just added the Ptarmigan 10-mile run a couple of years ago. And it's pretty arduous, you know, to get up the ski hill, but it's a lot of fun. You get a little bit muddy on the way up and the way down. So we are going to have, we have a volunteer, Gail Blundell, will be at the top of the ski hill, and we're going to have a little prizes up there. And it's also one way we know that, you know, those people that are doing the 10-mile actually make it to the top. So you will be receiving a little prize at the top of the ski hill, and you'll bring that down and you'll show us at the finish line, and we'll know you truly got up there and back down. And you get to keep the prize.
Oh, amazing. That's great. So Southeast Roadrunners, I don't know if I can just kind of hit you up for some information about the organization, because you all do a lot of races in town.
Oh, a tremendous amount. Last week, I think Keith put on a terrific Nifty 50 race, and And then next week is the Breast Cancer 5K. But yeah, it's, if you take a look at the calendar and if you want to sign up for Southeast Roadrunners, you can do that Saturday morning as well. But you can always access the calendar online and take a look at the wonderful races that we have. And a lot of people in the community do participate. And, you know, we have so many speedy mountain goats here in Juneau that it's really fun to get out and watch everybody run.
Yeah, that's great. And so let's say you're not a runner. Do you all encourage people cheering along the Eagle Crest Road?
Sure, absolutely. Come and cheer. And then I also want to note, if you are a fast walker or hiker, and I've Eagle Crest Road, I've been up and down there a little bit lately, and I've noted that some of the teams that seem to be prepping for Klondike appear to be, you know, fast walkers. They're welcome. That's great. We'd love to have anybody that wants to take up the challenge of, you know, heading up the Eagle Crest Hill. And Saturday also looks like the forecast looks a little bit better, so we're hoping maybe it will be a rain-free day. But I've also noticed over the years that on the rainiest days, the most people tend to come out. So,
do you think it's just the cool factor?
I don't know. People here are hardy, you know.
Yeah. That's great. What is the website for Roadrunners?
You know, I don't have it with me.
Sure.
But if you just go and Google Southeast Roadrunners and then, you know, add calendar or whatever, it will come up. So
perfect. Anything else you want to tell us about this great race on Saturday?
Well, we invite everybody to come out. It's a great hill training. There'll be a little prize at the top for those of you that want to take up the 10-mile Ptarmigan Challenge. And I think that's it. Look forward to seeing you.
Great. Thank you so much, Anne. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
And now here is Writer's Almanac for Thursday, August 14th.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 14th of August, 2014. It's the birthday of the columnist and essayist Russell Baker, born Morrisonville, Virginia, 1927, who wrote the column The Observer for the New York Times from the early 60s to the late 90s, and his memoir Growing Up, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 1982. When he succeeded Alistair Cook as the host of Masterpiece Theater on PBS, Russell Baker said, "I'd like to be the man who succeeds the man who succeeds Alistair Cook." It's the birthday of the novelist Danielle Steele, New York City, 1947, who produces a book a year, every year. And to keep up that rate, she works on 3 to 5 books at once, starting out with a long outline, about 50 pages. She goes through it several times herself and with her editor, and then she writes an entire draft in one long push, just sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night, getting up, going back to work, and does not stop until the book is finished. It's the birthday of Doc Holliday, John Henry Holliday, born in Griffin, Georgia, 1851, studied dentistry, but he couldn't practice because he had tuberculosis and patients were put off by his chronic cough. So he headed west, hoping the desert air would help him live a little bit longer, went off to Dallas, became a gambler there, and wound up in Tombstone in the Arizona Territory in 1880, when he took up with the Earp brothers, who were in the midst of a feud with the Clantons and the McLowry gang, which led to the famous shootout at the OK Corral, October 1881, about 30 shots fired in about 1.5 minute, leaving 3 dead and many wounded. Holliday survived. He died 6 years later of tuberculosis in Colorado. And after his death, the Denver Republican wrote, "Doc Holliday represented a class of men who were disappearing in the New West. He had the reputation of being a bunco man, desperado, and bad man generally. Yet he was a very mild-mannered man, was congenial and companionable, and had many excellent qualities." And it's the birthday of the poet Letitia Elizabeth Landon, born in London, 1802, popular for her romantic poems, which went out of fashion, and then interest in her was revived by an essay about her by Germaine Greer, and scholars began to look at her work again. Here's a poem for today by Seamus Heaney, entitled Postscript. "And sometime make the time to drive out west into County Clare, along the flaggy shore in September or October, when the wind and the light are working off each other so that the ocean on one side is wild with foam and glitter, and inland among stones the surface of a slate-gray lake is lit by the earthed lightning of a flock of swans, their feathers ruffed and ruffling, white on white, their fully grown, headstrong-looking heads tucked or cresting or busy underwater. Useless to think you'll park and capture it more thoroughly. You are neither here nor there, a hurry through which known and strange things pass, as big, soft buffetings come at the car sideways and catch the heart off guard and blow it open. Postscript by Seamus Heaney from The Spirit Level, published by Ferris Strauss and Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 14th. You're listening to KTOO 104.3. My name is Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, I have Miranda, and I also have Miss Sandy here from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council with Arts Up. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, sure. So this, it's Final Food Truck Friday, finals this Friday.
Say that three times.
I'm going to add one more final, and then maybe it will actually be final. But that's happening tomorrow. It's Friday.
Yes.
So what's lined up? You got some big plans?
Yeah, we're going out with a bang. So the music is, well, the whole thing is from 4 to 7, but music starts at 5:30, and it's the and it goes till 7. In Juzu Marimbas, and there's dancing, and there's a person, Patience, from Zimbabwe, who is here and has been working on these workshops with kids all week, and they're performing this amazing thing tomorrow. And you can come and dance.
You can dance, too?
Yeah.
Is it organized dancing, or are they going to kind of tell you what to do?
It's kind of free form.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want.
I mean, because it's marimbas, right?
It's marimbas. Yeah, it's happy music. It's just happy marimba music.
I have a friend who's doing the concert, and she's like, this is the best concert ever. She's really stoked about it.
Yeah. I know. I heard him practicing, and I wanted to just go in there. And the marimbas, it's not like just concert marimbas. Some of them are really big. Like, maybe you only get to play one note or two notes or something, because the pieces that you're hitting are really big, and then it goes some smaller ones, and people are standing up on platforms and playing things because the marimbas are so big.
Cool. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So it's also, you're going to have your kind of usual food truck vendors, but I hear there's beer.
There's beer, yes.
Tell me more about that.
We'll have a sectioned off area for people 21 and over, and Alaskan Brewing, I think, and other vendors have donated beer. So it's going to be a good time.
So you can actually go sweat out some marimba dancing. You could go refuel, grab a beer. You could get some tacos, what have you.
Yes. And I think you do have to buy the beer. I think I may have misled people, and you'll buy the food too, but it's not bad, and the music is free, so it's a pretty cheap date there. And you can go and browse some crafts, and there'll be some vendors selling art, and probably, I don't know if there's cupcakes this week, but food, dessert, beer, dancing.
Drums,
music.
Oh, sounds like
from
a great
Zimbabwe.
Time. Very cool. And then after that, Tyree Pini was just here talking about the Juno Student Symphony. So right after that, you could stick around all evening and then listen to their fabulous concert, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot going on
at that building. I love it.
I know.
So what else is happening? So let's say you're not doing any of that or you're doing all of that. What else is going on?
Okay. Well, tonight at the Jack is an evening with Mari Nu, and she has been training at the Bolshoi Ballet Academy for the last year. So she's giving a presentation, and it's a really unique experience and a privilege for a dancer from Alaska to be traveling or to be have been training in Moscow. So she's the first Alaskan too to train there. So she's doing a presentation. It's a fundraiser. And it starts at 6:30, and there's a silent auction and a dessert auction, you know, how we do here in Juneau, and a no-host bar. So that's tonight at the Jack at 6:30. That's open to everybody. So that's tonight. Tomorrow, Food Truck Friday. That looks like, what did we just say? Student Symphony.
That's right.
Student Symphony tomorrow. And then I guess you could go over to the Gold Room and listen to Dan Hobson play guitar tomorrow after that. All right. And then Saturday, there's a summer shakedown at the Rockwell Ballroom.
That's right. Actually, Harrison B. will be here right after you all to talk about do you have shakedown? Because I have shaketown. I wonder which it is. Are we going to shaketown or shakedown? We
could
do both. We should call it the shakedown.
You
can shakedown.
Do both for sure. I've seen you do both before. Whatever that means.
I know. I was like, I don't know what to do with that one. I love it. Yes, I've shakedowned and downed. But Harrison B. will be here next. We'll talk to him about what's going on there.
Okay, good, good, yeah. Good. So that's Saturday. Sunday night, go out to the airport and hear some free music from 6:45 to 7:45. John Schumann is playing happy horn music, pop and classical music. He plays French horn, so
cool.
He is just a fun guy to be around. So that's free. Anybody can go. You don't have to be flying on an airplane to go to that. That's the Music on the Fly concert series. Sunday, Monday, Intro to Belly Dance. Monday, 7 to 8:30. And then Tuesday, there's an arts roundtable at the Jack from 5 to 6:30. And that's just for artists and community members to come together and share ideas and plan some collaborations. So if you're wanting to get involved in the arts, maybe show up to that. That's free.
Yeah, and it's a great way to actually just meet people that are doing stuff in town. I mean, you don't even have to want to do stuff yourself. It's just getting to know the artists and the people who run the stuff. It's really important. It's a great way to get involved, for
mm-hmm,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also heard this weekend, and I don't know if I am correct about this, but I smell, that sounds horrible, I heard, how about that, that Sammy Burroughs is in town. I mean smell in a good way. I love him. Sammy Burroughs is a guitar player. He's just amazing. But I hear he's playing with Devil's Club. Did you all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe at the Rendezvous tonight and tomorrow, maybe the next couple days.
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. You can check out the Rendezvous online or their Facebook page, because he's just a great artist, yeah. So.
Yes, I agree. Okay, well, we'll keep going. On Wednesday, August 20th, they're at AWARE. They have a nice women's art support group, and it's from 6 to 7:30, and they just explore healing through art and connection. So that just seems like a unique opportunity for someone out there who needs that. And then, you know, Wednesday night, got the hula at 6 and the jam at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar at 7. So, wow, that's a really diverse art experience you could have next Wednesday.
I would like to see old-timey music while hulaing. That would be my preference, and I hope that happens.
Yeah, they could come to the Arts Roundtable and figure something out.
Perfect. Perfect.
And then let's see, next Thursday, well, the Juneau Douglas City Museum is having their walking tours, and they're still on their summer schedule, so you can get them pretty frequently, but I think that's going to slow down pretty soon, so you might want to do that, even if you've lived here for a while. It looks like, yeah, this is a pretty good week,
that sounds like
if you
a,
ask me.
Sounds like a great week. And if people wanted to check out this calendar online, where could they find it?
they could go to jahc.org, and there's a calendar there, and it's shared with K2 also. So you can
You could hit kto.org, you could hit jahc.org, you could put Arts Calendar Juno. You could find this in many places, and I have to say it really helps guide what I do.
Yeah,
there are
way more events on there than we had time to talk about today. And if you want to add your event, it could be arts related, just community related. Sometimes we just talk about arts things on here, but there are a lot of other things on that calendar. There's a handy form on jahc.org. J-A-H-C, that's hard to say. But you can go fill out that form and get your event listed. Maybe we'll mention it on the radio.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on to tell us Arts Up. I love that you're here. Maybe I'll see you next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. And here is Bird Note for Thursday, August 14th.
This is Bird Note. The dog days of August bring hot, sultry weather to much of North America. Just step outside, and you're already looking for a cold drink. Birds need liquids, too. Some birds can go a long time without drinking, even in sweltering habitats. They metabolize water from even such dry foods as seeds and reabsorb fluids internally rather than excreting them. Other birds eagerly seek out water on hot days. Songbirds, like robins, find water at a stream or bird bath. A robin takes a mouthful of water, then tips its head way back to send the water down its gullet. Pigeons drink differently. They're among the few birds that can suck in water with their heads down. Swallows and swifts drink with enviable grace. Gliding low across a pond, a swallow tilts its wings upward, lowers its head to the water's surface, and skims a beakful of water on the wing. And they make it look so easy. Keep your bird bath full, yes, but keep it clean, or the birds could be picking up a disease with that mouthful of water. To learn more, begin with a visit to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Won't you remember me? Said you got a hold on me. Well, the same way that I'm holding on to you.
And that's Harrison B. You're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, August 14th. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio with me, we have Harrison B. Hi.
Hey, Shona. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for joining us here today.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So you've got a lot going on right now.
Trying to, yeah. Getting through it all.
Nice. So you first, you know, we'll pitch this a couple times because I think it's pretty great. But you're doing something called Shakedown.
Sure.
And that's happening tomorrow.
We're doing
Saturday.
It's Saturday night. Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah. The Summer Shakedown. It's going to be ourselves and the Wool Pullers and the Shiver Twins. Two Juno bands are also going to be a part of it. So looking forward to it.
Great. And so what do you have lined up here for the Shakedown?
You know, it was just one of those things where we decided, you know, we've come through this town quite a bit, obviously, and I consider it kind of a second home. Played the Alaskan a bunch, played the Rendezvous. We did two openers over here at Centennial, and we just decided we wanted to do one really big, good show, and as opposed to spreading ourselves out a little bit more. And so we put a lot of effort into kind of what's going on inside of the show. And so obviously got the Wool Pullers kicking the night off, Liz Snyder, Alex Kutzlarts, who are honestly one of my favorites here in town. So
they're great, yeah.
Really looking forward to hearing them play myself. And then the Shiver Twins, which J.R. Rosales, he plays bass with me. He used to front a band called Slush Not Snow here in town. And now he is the drummer in the Shiver Twins. And so
I was wondering, yeah. I was like, I have not heard the Shiver Twins.
Yep, it's him and Eric Mountcastle and Lance and Zach. So it's
kind of
the same crew rebranded. And they got some serious energy, and I look forward to hearing them. And then
what kind of stuff are they playing?
I would call it modern rock music. They're very indie rock influenced. And it's just good stuff. They're very hook sensitive, and they got some pretty catchy songs, and like I said, they bring a lot of energy. So I'm excited to have them right before us. And me and JR and Cole, we spent 6 weeks out this summer. And while we were down in Folsom, California, with a photographer and videographer named Lauren LJ, we did a music video and for a song that we just released called Me, which is our new single. And we're going to premiere it on Saturday night. Nobody's seen it yet. We haven't put it out. So we're going to play it live on a big screen at the show for the first time that night. And then we've got a couple other videos in terms of visuals to play along with us. So we've really amped up, you know, kind of the video behind the audio, and we're really trying to bring something unique that the city doesn't see very often, and that's a full-scale production in a show. So that's kind of what we're aiming to do, and for all intents and purposes, we've succeeded so far. So.
Great, and that's Saturday night at the Rockwell. What time are doors?
Yes, at the Rockwell Ballroom, doors are going to be at 6:30, and the show's going to start right around 7 o'clock.
And is it all ages, 21 and
21
up?
21 and up, it is, yeah.
Okay, and what's the cost for this?
It's $15 in advance, and you can get tickets at the Rockwell right now. You can get tickets out in the valley at Juno Pizza right now. Also at brownpapertickets.com. Just search for Harrison B or Summer Shakedown. They'll pop up right there, and they're $20 at the door the night of as well.
Great. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear Shiver Twins, too. I like it when new bands pop up on our scene.
They've got some catchy tunes, I'm telling you. I think you'll dig what they do.
That's great.
Yeah.
So y'all have been pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
You've played some serious music lately.
Sure.
Where have you been?
Well, we went from, I started in Nashville, and I toured acoustically from Nashville to Bellingham, Washington, and did that. Once I met the boys there, JR flew down. We went out of Bellingham. We toured all the way down to Sacramento, California, and then did a return route as well. Then we got on a plane, came here, took the ferry down to Haines, played the Haines Fair, and we just got back into town last week and started getting prepared for this show. So covered some miles. I've been out since, I guess the end of March, and before that I was home for 2 weeks, and I was gone since February since then. So we've just had a heck of a run playing a lot of music, but I restored a 68 Airstream. We got to tour in it this summer. It was the first road test that she got. Three dudes in a 22-foot tin can. And
how'd she do?
Yeah, she did great. The frame broke in Casper, Wyoming, but we got that fixed. And Actually, the back door flew off, the floor fell out, and the frame broke in about an 8-hour span. So we had a meltdown. But I love that thing, you know. You put 2.5 years in something, you love it like a sister or a brother. And so got her fixed up, and ever since then, it's been tight as a tick, man. I'll tell you what, it was a perfect thing for us.
Did you take it up to Southeast?
I did not. No, it's sitting in Bellingham right now. So we took it all the way to California and back, though. And I tell you what, man, that was an experience. It felt like we were living in the 60s again or something. We were staying in campgrounds and side-of-the-road spots and just three dudes in a campfire on the nightly basis. So it was a trip, man, I tell you what.
That sounds like a good time. We're going to play one more of your tunes here,
cool.
Where the Birds Are Gone. We'll talk a little bit more with Harrison B.
Sure.
Left 68 with the summer clothes, window seat and an ocean view. Through the shroud and to the blues, said that gray 48 state divide. Touchdown at Tempest 38, but it kinda dark and it's kinda late. A city guarded by a wooden gate, where by the fires the eye can see. Evergreen in the wind of blue, and from the tree not a single tune. Yeah, down by the river with the woods on mute, I said, while the birds are gone. Old strangers and friends are new, yeah, ain't got much time, I'm just passing through. So the man, southern point of view, but in a northern kind of light. Single trail or a single boat, single raven on river and snow. He loads his call over all that he knows, all that the eye here can see. Evergreens in the winter blues, and from the trees comes a single tune. Yeah, down by the river with the woods on you. Why the birds are gone. Evergreens in the winter blues, all the trees just a single tone. Yeah. Down by the river, sitting with the woods on mute. Yeah. Why the birds are gone. Old man raven singing old man's song. While the birds are gone, yeah, well, I'm gonna ride on the raven song. While the birds are gone.
And that's Harrison B. We've got Harrison B. in the studio also. And, yeah, we're just chatting about what's going on for you and this big event coming up on Saturday night.
That's right.
That's right. It's the Shakedown.
That's right.
Shakedown Town.
The Summer Shakedown. No, we're excited, man. We really are. We put a lot of work into it, and we can't wait to get in there and do it at this point, you know.
So because you've been touring around for a while, have you done this kind of, you know, so it's the premiere of the music video, you
mm-hmm.
said?
Yes.
Yeah. But have you done this kind of visual incorporation with your music and other venues before this?
No, in limited aspects. This is honestly as deep as we're going to have gone with it. And, yeah, it's just time, and it was the opportunity arose, and we felt like, you know, we just had a brainstorm session. It's like, hey, we're going to do a show. What can we do to really bring something to Juneau that maybe they don't see very often, things that are kind of difficult to pull off? And one of the things was like, you know, let's bring a show. Let's, instead of just being a band on a stage playing some tunes, let's get some ideas and some visuals behind it that kind of help bring the idea together. And so we've been working on those for a couple of weeks, and we got, you know, four or five different opportunities throughout the set to to kind of throw something on screen that we're really excited and we think helps bring a new and exciting element to the show. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about this new video? It's called Me. What was the impetus behind, you know, creating the video, and how did that come about?
So the video kind of follows loosely the idea of the song, and so the song is called Me. I don't know if you had a chance to hear it yet, but the whole idea of the song is it's a diatribe between essentially the two voices in your brain, the part of you that has an ego and the part of you that has a conscience. And these two voices, I guess, I feel like they exist in each person. It's something that binds us. We're constantly battling against ourselves for our own attention. We want everybody to look at us, and at the same time, there's a voice in your head that realizes that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about other people and what you can do. And so the verses, each character gets a verse, and then the chorus, you know, it's what your ego is saying. They're always staring at me. They're always staring at me. So in this video, we've created two characters. We've created the ego self. We've created the conscious self. And, you know, I got to do some acting, which was a lot of fun. And we pit these two characters against each other. I don't want to give away too much, but let's just say that, you know, there's a battle of the bands, man. There's a battle of these two guys that exist in each person. And they're going at each other and trying to fight for essentially your identity. So we tried to follow it that way. We got to shoot it in an abandoned parking garage, as well as we did some in-studio stuff on a video set. So it's a collaboration of a bunch of different scenes.
Sounds great. Juno premiere, too, right?
Juno premiere, that's right. We wanted to bring it back here. JR and Cole are local. He's done all of the video editing work on this, and so, like, wanted to do it somewhere that he'd be proud to display it as well. And so we're just really excited to do it here, man. This feels as close to home as anywhere else I am. So just excited to do it here.
Yeah, that's great. So it's wonderful that you actually do have Cole and JR. So Cole Paramore and JR Rosales, they're local guys, mm-hmm. and they've been playing with you now for a bit.
Cole over 2 years off and on. JR a little bit over a year off and on. But like I said, we were together for 6 weeks this summer, and we actually just found out we've got an opportunity. NACA is kind of an industry term, but it's essentially where 95% of colleges do 90% of their on-campus booking. And there's about 6,000 applicants per region. They select about 15 artists to showcase, and we've got a bid. And so we're going to go down in November, and we have the opportunity to do that. And so we're going to be together for essentially another miniature run of what we just did this summer, leading into that. And then, you know, we'll see what the future holds beyond that. But I'm sure we've got a lot of work to do left together when we can get it done. I love working with those two guys.
You know, that's interesting. You were saying before you just kind of pick up musicians mm-hmm. here and there and as you travel and that kind of thing, but it seems like you're really cementing.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, honestly, it's not even a conscious decision. They bring something in their originality the way I do it. Like I was telling you, is I like for people to, I give them guidelines. These are the band parts. This is what exists. And beyond that, I want you to color it like you would play it. And that original aspect, that spark that they personally bring in, mixed with kind of the direction that I'm kind of guiding them towards, they make the music their own, and they bring a specific element that I personally, not as, you know, the artist, but as me as a listener, I guess I love what they do to the sound. And so, yeah, any and every opportunity I have to work with them, I'm going to take advantage of it.
That sounds great. So beyond, you've got this great thing lined up in, November in Portland?
It's in November, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got that thing. What else is on the horizon for you?
We're going to do a run from Bellingham to Portland, kind of leading up to that. In between now and then, I've got two dates with University of Alaska Anchorage coming up end of this month and 1st of September. I'm going to do an acoustic tour from Bellingham to South Carolina, and then I'm going to go home for 10 days, and then I'm going to do an acoustic tour back to Bellingham, arriving there towards the end of October, and then we'll get ready for our next little run down the coast again, and then the showcase in Portland. So that's my fall.
Not that it's mapped out or
right.
anything.
Right, no, not that there's any organization. I'm just a total hippie out here, man. No business.
Right. Nice, I love it. Well, cool. Do you have a website people can check out, or Facebook page or something like that?
I do, yeah. Everything is Harrison B. Music, so www.harrisonbmusic.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or anywhere else as /HarrisonBMusic.
Awesome. And everybody go check out Shakedown happening at the Rockwell this weekend. Get advance tickets at brownpapertickets.com, Juno Pizza, and the Rockwell. $15 in advance, $20 out the door. And, you've got Shiver Twins, new band. Check them out. Mm-hmm. And the Whirlpullers. And, of course, Harrison B.
That's right up in the ballroom. We'll see y'all there.
Thanks so much. And this is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators in the Valley and Ok Bay area. Tune to K276 AF 103.1 in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable, Juneau on digital channel 871. KTOO can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at ktoo.org.
Make way for a successor comes after weeks of pressure both within Iraq and from the international community.
Today is Thursday, August 14th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Blanc.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Coming up, we'll talk with the governor of an Iraqi province that's taken in hundreds of thousands of refugees.
Also, racial tensions in Ferguson, Missouri highlight the challenge of recruiting minorities into police departments.
When I told my parents that this is something that I wanted to do, they were very concerned. Those types of sentiments really still exist in the communities of color.
And some trade lingo of electricians.
One of my first weeks on the job, someone told me to bend some conduit, kick a 90, stub it out into this room here, and make sure...